Why will I stand trial for my sin? The Bible represents the whole doctrine of justification as a judicial proceeding. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you will one day, not just in prospect, but one day you will stand trial for your sins. Let me introduce to you the members of the court. Because first of all, the judge enters and we find that Jesus is the judge. It says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." He's talking to the Lord. And this Lord is that part of the triune God, Jesus Christ. Psalm 143:1, "I hear my prayer, O Jehovah, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." It's in the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said this, "For the Father judgeth no man." This is not the Father sitting at the judge. "But hath committed all judgment unto the Son." At the day of the great white throne judgment, when the one upon the throne is so brilliantly holy that he cannot be seen for the light, all the unsaved resurrected from their tomb and raised up from the pit of Hades will be resurrected and stand before him. And they will be judged by the one they rejected. It will be Christ on the throne. Christ will be the judge. John Owen, great student of the Word of God, we owe pretty much the final proper understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit to him and his work. He wrote a book called The Doctrine of Justification by Faith. And he says it is necessary for any man going to trial to duly consider the judge before whom he is to appear. As you enter into your courtroom, you see that it is Jesus Christ himself. And you know this about him, that this judge knows absolutely everything you have done. He knows absolutely everything you have said. And he knows absolutely everything that you have thought. He knows everything you should have done but didn't. He knows everything you tried to do, perhaps a sin that failed. He knows everything that you wanted to do, but didn't see how you could get away with it. He knows absolutely everything. He is also infinitely at war with all sin. It is his very nature. He is light and sin is darkness, and they cannot abide together. It is water and fire. You cannot put the two together. The one conquers the other. His standard of conduct is absolute perfection. No wonder the psalmist said, "For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Listen to him, Matthew 5:48. "Be ye therefore perfect." You say, "Well, yeah, but maybe he didn't mean that. Maybe he didn't mean perfect like we think of perfect." He explained it, "Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." He says, if you are lacking a resemblance to the perfect God of heaven, you fail. He is greatly to be feared as a judge. He is capable of not just putting you in prison. He is capable of not just sending you to your execution, but of actually destroying both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Greek word for hell here is Gehenna. That's the lake of fire, the final place of torment from which no one ever leaves. He is also the very one who suffered personally to offer you salvation. At this point in the trial, attention is called to the defendant, and you are the defendant. All eyes turn and see you. The question is, are you guilty or not? Psalm 143:2, enter not into judgment with thy servant. It's a personal thing. All of the last trials are done rather in mass, but it's all done individually. The infinite God focuses upon you personally. You say, why am I the defendant? Well, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Solomon prayed at the dedication of the great temple of the Lord, 1 Kings 8:46. He says, I want this temple to be used if they sin against thee. And then he says, for there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them and deliver them into the enemy, so they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy far and near. He says, may they look toward this temple and pray, and you will recognize that they're praying to you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you are a sinner. You say, how did that happen? Well, you're condemned by your heritage. Romans 5:18a. Therefore, as by the offense of one, this speaks of Adam, judgment came upon all men. You see, that's you. To condemnation. You're condemned because you were born of a fallen Adam and Eve. 1 Corinthians 5:22a. For as in Adam, all die. So it doesn't quite seem fair. Well, let me just hasten on to say you are condemned by your personal choice of sin. Let's not act like you never did anything wrong. Proverbs 12:2a. A man of wicked devices will God, condemn. In John 3:19, here's the statement of all, which includes each one of us. This is the condemnation. That's the judgment sound. That light has come into the world, that's Christ. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You chose. Personal choice. To sin. Because of this, you realize at this trial you deserve death. Yes, I didn't think it was that serious. Romans 1:32a, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Why is that? Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. Revelation 21:8, talks about those who are being cast into Gehenna, into the lake of fire. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their assigned part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And let me say to you, you have no defense. You have no defense. John 3:18b, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The condemnation is set. Nothing you can do now to switch that back, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Stopped from what? Trying to defend yourself. You broke the law of God. You broke the very nature of God. You stand as an enemy of God. What will you do now? Polish your shoes to make it better? Brush your teeth? Comb your hair? And all the world may become guilty before God. And so, the indictment is brought to you at this trial. What am I charged with? Your indictment is breaking God's law. Ezekiel 18:4-20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Little space there, he repeats this condemnation. That's the indictment. Romans 3:9, what then? Are we, Jews, better than they, Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, a court word, both Jews and Gentiles, you'll fit in one of those two categories, that they are all under sin. Sin. And what is sin? 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. God made the law to represent who he is. He translated his character into human action. The law says, God telling us, if I were you, I would act this way. And I would not do that. I would do this. This is God's nature translated in human action. This is why the Old Testament, they say, God's law is perfect, because it's a perfect reflection of the perfect God. I want you to look across at the table and see who your prosecutor is. Your prosecutor is the devil. Psalm 143:3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Zechariah 3:1, Satan standing at your right side to resist him. Revelation 12:10, the accuser of our brethren, a court-sounding term, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's the devil. He's your tempter, but he's the record keeper of every sin. I want you to realize that he was there every time you sinned. He actually is the prosecutor, but he's also the eyewitness of your crimes. When he presents this case before God, he knows perfectly that he cannot bring to God a false accusation. That would be foolish. Everything is documented. And his book of condemnation is God's own law. Christ said in John 5:45, do not think that I, Jesus, will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. That's the law of Moses, in whom ye trust. You think that by your relative obedience to God's law, you're okay? He says, no, it has to be done perfectly. To break one law is to break the law. Like breaking one link in a chain just breaks the chain. But I didn't break all the links. I didn't even break the big links. But the chain is broken. So the devil calls the first witness, and you say, who will take the stand to witness against me? And perhaps you faint when you realize that the witness against you is your own conscience. You take the stand against yourself. Psalm 143:2, for in thy sight shall no man living, even you, be justified. Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, trial terminology, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You'll have to admit that in your conscience, when you sinned, you knew it was wrong. Men may use every rationalization, every trick of the mind, to argue that they are not condemned. But when God reveals his glory to them, they cry out in dread and horror. Isaiah 33:14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Now they recognize, I deserve it. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Revelation 6, 15 to 17, at the time of the Great Tribulation, the people recognize what they've done. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Why? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The conscience opens up and says, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Listen to the psalmist's prayer, Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, if you take account of it, O Lord, who shall stand? David's prayer in verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Daniel's prayer, Daniel 9, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. We do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. You see, salvation comes because he's a merciful God, not because we're righteous. Let me say to you that we look now to see who your defense attorney is. Strangely, it's the judge. Your only defense attorney is Jesus. In Psalm 143, verse 11, quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Here's the point that Christ makes as the defense attorney. Grace offers a choice other than law. Law condemns us, and we admit it freely. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You must choose one or the other. I say to you this morning, you must choose one or the other. You say, I'm good enough, then you've chosen the law. I will do better, you've chosen the law. I will make it right. You have chosen the law, and you are condemned and will not stand before God. Will not stand at the end before God. You will be condemned. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever are justified. Think you're justified by the law. You choose law over grace. You are fallen from grace. You must choose one or the other. The two men standing before the temple, Christ told the story. The publican, an acknowledged sinner, and the Pharisee, man glorious in his self-righteousness. The Pharisee says, O Lord, you must be proud of me. I have done all these wonderful things. Well, I even fast twice in a week. I give a tenth to you of everything I have. And, perhaps most importantly, I'm not like this bad guy over here. I'm much better than he is. Christ said he prayed thus with himself. The publican, however, can't even raise his face to heaven. He beats upon his chest with head bowed. He doesn't talk about his works. He talks about who he is. And he appeals to God's mercy, not his value of righteousness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Christ used this trial terminology and said, Only one of these was justified. It was the one pleading his sin and pleading for mercy. Jesus did the work to inaugurate the new covenant that offers salvation and life. 1 John 2:1-2. If any man sin, we have an advocate, that's the word for lawyer, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is, this Jesus, is the propitiation, big word that means the satisfaction, satisfies God for the breaking of the law. For our sins, he says to the church, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Only one person in the universe can take your side. You stand condemned and worthy of death. You see, the fact is, you know your crime. Yet one loves you enough to offer a plea for your life. Only one. It is Jesus, the judge. He is the very Son of the living God. He has taken the punishment upon himself. He has plea bargained a deal, and this from before creation, to allow you to choose life. I will die for you, but then you must ask me for that. You must join me. You must become incorporated in me. But understand this, my friend, and I plead with you to understand this. It is an all or nothing deal. You can't take part and reject part. You have but one possible chance. It is his way or none at all. If you compromise the rules of this plan in any way, the whole deal is off. If you can imagine Jesus Christ leaving heaven's glory to live in poverty, to live among rejection by family, friends, the very people that he came to, the Jews. And he did all that to work this out for you. He was tortured to death. He shed his precious blood to make this perfect arrangement. He did it all for God's great plan to adopt you as a son. And he did it for you because he saw your great need. He has loved you with a perfect love, a self-sacrificing love. And so we come down to your plea. Your only plea is your faith in Christ. Again, verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. We, as we stand, are already condemned. Exodus 34, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity, the sins of the father upon the children, upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Sin is passed down. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law reveals your sin. It doesn't cover it. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Entering into him by faith. Even we, Jews, have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We who had the law. We who were raised with the law. We Jews left the law to have faith in Christ. And not by the works of the law. For, he emphasizes again, by the works of the law shall no flesh, not yours, not mine, no flesh shall be justified. So I say to you, your plea bargain is only your faith in Christ. You cannot choose a faith in Christ and your good works. So-called good deeds are worthless for salvation. Jesus told of those who will claim that their works bring salvation, and how sadly they were mistaken, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. You can almost see him frowning, shaking his head. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, how happy they are. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Oh, listen, it sounds to me like some of these TV preachers. All the healings, all the prophesying, all the mighty casting out of demonic powers. Sounds just like them. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Paul explained Acts 13, 38, 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, speaking of Jesus, back in verse 23, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It's his work, or none at all. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. The slate is cleared, you see. Justified from all things. And then he adds, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Let me take you back in time as the trial comes to a close. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus came. Listen to his words. Isaiah 53, verse 6 and verse 11. What about us? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's our way is sin. And the Lord hath laid on him, laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Laid on him the sin of us all. He, the Father, shall see of the travail of his soul, of Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. There's the word propitiation. He is propitiated. He is satisfied with the sacrifice Christ made. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, Jesus, justify many. Unfortunately, not all. For not all will come. For he shall what? Bear, carry their sins. You may take the sins that you freely acknowledge and, as it were, roll them over onto Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll take them all. I'll take them till there is none left, and you are sparkling clean. You are perfect as God can expect. So my prayer for you, choose him today. In fact, choose him this moment. Let's pray. Father, the trial is here. The trial will come, but it must be faced today. In this room, perhaps there are those who have never trusted Christ as personal Savior. Perhaps they've been religious, perhaps they've been righteous, perhaps they've been law keepers, perhaps they find reasons to think they're better than others. Perhaps they've gone from church to church. Maybe they've tried various religions. But Father, unless they have admitted their sin and asked Jesus, who died for them, to forgive them their sins, they are yet in their sins. And no man living can be justified by thee. So David prayed that you would not enter into judgment with him. But Father, we know that the judgment time is coming. It is not this morning, but it is coming. And the time will stand to see whether we have Christ as our Savior or not. And if not, we cannot stand righteous in the judgment. we will be condemned. In fact, we are condemned already. I ask, Father, that you might take this deep into each of our hearts. For Father, there may be some here that say, I've been a member of Open Door Baptist Church for many years, and yet that will not save. Perhaps there are those here that say, I've been attending Christian services since I was a child, but that will not save. For the wages of sin is not church attendance or church membership. The wages of sin is death. And unless we accept the death of Christ as our own, we are not saved. With heads bowed, eyes closed, very quietly before the Lord, let me ask, are you sure? Death is sure. The end is sure. Are you sure that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven to be with the Lord? Or do you say, I wish I could be sure. I would like to be sure. Then let me pray for you. If you are not sure, let me pray for you. Let me take your case before the Lord. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. I would like to know for sure. Pray for me. All right, thank you. Father, we trust that those here have trusted Christ as Savior, not themselves, not their good works, not their righteousness before others, but have trusted you for the salvation work of Christ. Now guide and direct us this day. Help us to recognize, as we heard from Spurgeon in the bulletin quote, that if this is true and sinners are condemned, then Father, we need to tell them the truth. In their path to hell, Father, help them to have to struggle with us to get there. Give us the holy desire to tell them of the trial to come, of the devil that will preach against them, and of their own conscience that will testify that their condemnation is correct. Hell opens its mouth. It yawns its fiery belly, seeking to devour. We ask that you would spare us from that. Help us to flee to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.